nationally recognized speaker, facilitator, and author Steve Klein sits down with the most fascinating difference makers in Dallas-Fort Worth. Hear from top CEOs, local entrepreneurs, and key playmakers in business right now with your host, Steve Klein.
James Conant Bryan said, "Behold the turtle. He makes progress only when he sticks his neck out." Hi, I'm Steve Klein, and welcome to Playmakers Talk Show. In the studio today are two guests who stick their neck out. Our first Playmakers company is doing just under $500 million in sales and has doubled their workforce since last year, while our next Playmaker is running the Texas region of a 100-year-old bank. With us today is the CEO of a company that has recently relocated to Dallas from San Diego, while our next guest is the president of the Texas region of a bank that Forbes has ranked one of America's best banks for 6 years. These great Playmakers are John Graham. John is the CEO of Omnitrax, and Zach Fee. Zach is president of the Texas region of UMB, and we're going to begin today's show with Zach. As I mentioned, Zach is president of the Texas region of UMB Bank. UMB Financial Corporation is a diversified financial services holding company founded in 1913. For the sixth straight year, UMB was ranked as one of America's best banks based on eight financial measures of asset quality, capital adequacy, and profitability, according to studies by Forbes and SNL Financial. Zach has more than 13 years of experience in the financial services industry. Prior to his current position, Zach was community bank president of UMB's South Kansas City region for 5 years. Earlier in his career with UMB, Zach worked as a commercial banking officer in the Kansas City region. Well, Zach, welcome to Playmakers Talk Show.
Steve, thanks for having us.
Well, you began as an intern at UMB during your last Jayhawk semester at KU. What has kept you at your one and only employer for 13 years?
Sure, it's kind of unique. It probably
very new for most people.
Yeah, especially for my generation, too, in particular, right? In a word, I'd say culture. It's a unique organization. As you mentioned, it's 100 years old, and the Kemper family started it now in its fourth generation of Kemper family leadership, six CEOs in 100 years. Pretty unique story, even in our industry.
Kemper is the big name in Kansas City.
It is, yeah, certainly. There's kind of two factions, and the Kempers run two different banks, cousins, currently Commerce Bank and UMB Bank. But it's a longstanding name in Kansas City. They've done a lot with the city, both sides of the family, and certainly integral in its history. But the company does a wonderful job of fostering, mentoring its leadership. It's important. We truly think what we do is unique in our industry. We're a commodity. The green is the same. The products, technology, by and large, is the same. So really, it's the people that make the difference, and that's probably the biggest thing that's kept me at UMB.
You've been here since July of 2012, I believe.
October 12th, yeah.
October 12th, okay. Yeah. And UMB has moved into Texas. Why move into Texas, and where are you located? Tell people where they can find you in Dallas and Fort Worth.
Sure. You know, why Texas? We pick up the papers every day and read about why Texas. So we've had clients here for more than 30 years, but they've been serviced out of Kansas City. Primarily that client base is large corporate. Really the roots of our company and really where the Kempers founded the company was as a commercial bank, which is unique. Most other banks are retail banks at some point have a commercial offshoot. This is the fourth largest metro in the country. By our metrics, it's somewhere in the third to fourth, fifth largest commercial base in the country, companies that are 25, 50 million in revenues and up. So that's really the secret to why we're here. We think this is a dynamic market, a place we need to have boots on the ground. We need to have brick and mortar to some extent. We're not here to really compete on the retail banking front. That model's changed a lot. We don't really need a whole lot of locations. We need great people. We need top talent. And that's what I've worked hard to do over the last couple of years is find some of Dallas and Fort Worth's top talent, folks that are interested in our story and being really at the ground level of something we think is going to be really special in this market.
So Texans are working for you. You're the only transplant from Kansas.
I am. I take that back. We just recently had a gentleman in our capital markets group relocate from Kansas City. So, folks are starting to talk. They know what's going on in Dallas, and there's some interest to move down. But To this point, yeah. That's been
well, let's talk about Dallas first, because you are located right now in Frisco, but you are building a new location in the Dallas Arts District. Talk a little bit about that and how soon you'll be in there.
Sure. Craig Hall is actually a developer in that property. He's owned that property, I think, for a little over 20 years, so this is a long time in the making for him. It's been probably an eyesore for many in the Arts District, and is kind of the last infill place within the primary part of the Arts District. So the building is nearing completion. The water has held us up, I think, for the last few weeks on completing some of the outside work. We're hard at work, hopefully getting our space ready to be in there in the next month or two. That will be really kind of the flagship location for us. I think of it as a wonderful private wealth management type of office. So think of us as really a boutique commercial bank as well as private wealth management. That's really what I think we're best at and what you'll see. So it's not going to look like your traditional branch with teller lines and tubes and drive-thrus and all those kind of things. So, you know, our model is more bring the bank to the clients. But that's going to be a great spot for us to start.
Oh, it's a perfect location for private wealth management. And as you said before, the model has changed. It used to be location, location, location. Mm-hmm. Now the location is on the internet or people coming to you, which is what you're going to do and service your clients and give them great customer service. Moving into Fort Worth, though, you purchased, was it Meridian Bank of Texas?
That's right. You know, the holding company is Marquette Financial Companies. It's a $1.3 billion company. And really there's four kind of, I think of it as disparate units. It was owned by the Pollad family out of Minneapolis. They really have two traditional, what you'd think of as commercial banks. In North Texas, they have five locations between Dallas, Denton, and Fort Worth, and then also in Phoenix and Scottsdale, Arizona, which I think they have another eight locations there. So from our standpoint, that by itself is very intriguing. Those are two of our largest growth markets. And then the other two units are national specialty lending businesses. One is an asset-based lender headquartered in Dallas with offices in L.A. and in Atlanta. The other is a factoring business, and my friend John will probably have some insights into the transportation world, but that's really their focus, factoring for transportation companies based in Minneapolis, as well as an asset management group in Minneapolis. So that's big for us. That's really going to help put us on the map more than what we've been able to do over the last couple of years.
Oh, that was a great acquisition to get you your feet planted into Texas, in addition to a few other cities like Phoenix. Well, you've been with UMB for 13 years. You started as an intern. Now you are the president of the Texas region. That's a long way in a short period of time. Have you had any specific mentors with UMB that have helped you get to where you are quicker?
Sure. Excuse me, specifically with UMB. You know, my old boss is now my counterpart. He probably wouldn't agree with that, but at least in title. He runs the Kansas City market. Jim Ryan is his name. And Jim often jokes that, you know, he taught me everything I know, not everything he knows. But he really was a tremendous mentor for me as a young guy coming up through the bank. And you know, really kind of shepherding my cause in many ways, teaching me the ropes, certainly, and you know, paying it forward. Folks had done that for him as well, and he's similar to me in many ways. He's been with the same company his entire career. He's 9 years older than I am. Enjoyed a tremendous amount of success at a young age, and again, that's kind of the UMB culture, and it passes through. Over and over and time again. But he's really been certainly one of my biggest mentors and champions. He's been a good friend over the years.
From what you're saying, it seems like a lot of people join UMB and stay there and don't leave because of the culture of the company. You've moved to Texas. You are becoming a Texan, though it's only been a few short years. What's the one thing about Texas that you didn't know before you moved here that you have now been attempting to acclimate into your life?
Yeah. You know, the thing that shines through really overnight is just how open and friendly, both on a personal level and certainly on a business level, this environment is. It thrives on relationships. And people I've found been very willing to sit down and listen to your story, hear your proposition in some regards, and just that sort of open, friendly business environment has just been You can't say it enough. I say it all the time. I say it to my counterparts and folks within corporate. It's really amazing. I always thought Kansas City was a very friendly place, and it is. But this is an open environment, in my opinion, unlike any other. And I don't know if a lot of that is because there's so many folks from other places. But it's been a lot of fun meeting folks and kind of getting plugged in and hearing the unique stories and differing, you know, various backgrounds. There's folks from all walks of life. So it's a great place to live, be, work, you know, grow, all those things.
Definitely is a melting pot here. And I've met a lot of people from Kansas City that have moved to Dallas too. Your website is umb.com if anyone would like to go there. Again, we're speaking with Zach Fee. He is the president of the Texas region for UMB Bank. Who are you looking for clientele? You said you're going to be a little different. You'll be a little boutique bank. Who's your ideal client?
Sure. You know, by trade, we're generalists. So we operate in a lot of different industries, whether that's, you know, manufacturing, wholesale distribution, transportation, healthcare, energy, it crosses the gamut. So middle market means different things to different folks. I describe often that our, real wheelhouse is those companies that are $25 million in revenues to $500-700 million in revenues. We certainly have clients on both sides of that revenue stream, but that's generally a space that I think we do really, really well in, a space where we can be the bank for that client and somebody they can grow with. Something that's unique about our bank, and I found this interviewing a lot of local bankers, and in many ways you understand what the competitive landscape is like. There's, I think, something like 165 banks in DFW. It's quite large. For a bank our size, we don't have any true hold limits. We don't operate in many ways in these boxes of geographic area or revenue streams or even industries in many ways. And I find that often with our competitors talking to other bankers, and it's frustrating, I think, for those bankers. So, what we do is try to, very simply do what's right for the client. And it sounds so simple. And it really is. You don't have to make it more complicated than it is. But, whether that's hold limits within our organization, we probably bite off a bigger apple, bigger part of the apple than many of our competitors might, for the right management teams and the right companies. And, to be sure, we loan money to people, not companies. These are owners and management teams that run them. And, it's a business built on relationships and character.
Well, you're building and developing an alternative for many people with their banking now by being here in Dallas and Fort Worth in the North Texas area. Tell everybody one more time how they can find out more about UMB.
Sure. As Steve mentioned, we have an office currently in Frisco, and we will be moving into the Arts District here in the next month or two. UMB.com is probably the easiest place to find us. We've got an office in Fort Worth at 201 Main Street downtown. And hopefully over the next coming months and year, we will be closing on the Marquette transaction. We'll have five new locations in addition to those throughout DFW. So
the phone numbers for both Dallas and Fort Worth are on our website, Playmakers Talk Show. But Zach, thank you very much for being a part of Playmakers Talk Show.
Steve, thank you so much. Appreciate the opportunity.
Zach Fee is the region president for the president for the Texas region of UMB Bank, and again, it's umb.com. We're going to take a short break, but don't go away. We're going to talk about the trucking business, but a little bit different, using some software and tracking those trucks to find out what is going on. We're going to speak with John Graham. John is the CEO of Omnitrax, and we'll be back with John right after this.
Family Wellness Dallas is offering a Safe Conversations workshop on Saturday, June 6th at the Concord Street Church of Dallas. This full-day program teaches relationship and communication skills to couples and children alike. Child care is free. The workshop shows participants how to take turns talking and listening, giving daily appreciations, and encourages participants to take a zero negativity pledge, which helps families build healthy communication. This no-cost workshop is June 6th from 8:30 to 5 at the Concord Church of Dallas. Go to familywellnessdallas.org for more information and registration.
Operation Kindness is the oldest and largest no-kill animal shelter here in North Texas. Each day, its staff and volunteers care for an average of 300 homeless dogs and cats in its shelter in Carrollton, plus 100 more animals living in foster homes throughout the Metroplex. Learn how you can adopt, donate, or volunteer with this nonprofit group by visiting their website at operationkindness.org or by calling 972-418-7297. operationkindness.org.
And welcome back to Playmakers Talk Show. We're in store for an interesting interview talking about, something that I don't know a lot about, but the trucking industry is growing with this. We're going to talk about tracking trucks. We're going to speak with John Graham. John is CEO of OmniTrax, which is a leading provider of fleet management, routing, and predictive and analytic solutions for private and for hire fleets. Now, OmniTrax, more than 800 employees, deliver software as a service-based solution to help more than 30,000 private and for-hire fleet customers, which manage nearly 1 million mobile assets in more than 60 countries. Now, before joining OmniTrax, John served as president of the Security, Government, and Infrastructure Division at Intergraph Corporation. Prior to joining Intergraph, John served as executive vice president, global sales and service for Siemens UGS Software, and he's also a former U.S. Naval officer. Well, John, welcome to Playmakers Talk Show.
Great. Thank you, Steve. Glad to be here.
Well, in doing some research on you, I discovered that you have some eclectic things in your background, especially when it comes to music. You're a former naval officer, but your love of music goes from outlaw country to classical and symphony. Did that just happen, or did you have this interest in music?
I think it's kind of interesting. It's just starting out as a kid in Mississippi, being born there, being a military brat, living around the world, following my family, and just kind of, you know, coming up through the ranks of different experiences around rock music, outlaw country, got exposed to classical music in Europe when I lived in Europe. And just, again, it just evolved over time, and it's a passion that I've developed and one I've passed on to my children.
So wherever there's music, you'll fit in anywhere.
There, I can make it work.
Well, how long were you in the Navy?
I was in for 10 years as an active duty officer.
Were you planning on making that your career, or did you know there's a time when you were going to leave the service?
You know, it was a family decision at the time. I'd spent 10 years there out of the university. I was obligated for about 5 years, enjoyed it very much, and spent another 5 years. But then, you know, those things like family and children and moving a lot all got into the mix, and so I made a decision at that time to move into the technology industry.
And you've been doing that for about 25 years.
That's right.
Well, let me ask you one more question about the Navy before we get into OmniTrax. Was there anything specific you learned as a naval officer that has helped you in your private career?
Sure. I'd say it's very fundamental to me is that the background and experience I had in leadership. And so I think anyone in the military, whether they're in the Army, the Marine Corps, the Navy, whatever level or rank, leadership is just fundamental to being able to be effective. And that really translates very, very well into the business world. And that's the biggest takeaway that's helped me in my career.
Well, it's obvious that's helped you based on where you are. Now, let's talk about OmniTrax. OmniTrax has recently split from Qualcomm, and they own them in San Diego. I want to talk about that. But what does OmniTrax do?
OmniTrax is a tracking, it's a asset management type of company that we provide software and services to help in the delivery of goods, the tracking of trucks, managing a workforce, a driver workforce, also maximizing loads, maximizing routes through the day. So a lot of the transportation and distribution industry is really run on software and technology, and we thrive in that environment.
Well, what do you do? Do you put things into something in the truck to be able to track the truck and track what they're doing, where they are?
It's a mix. In some cases, we actually have devices that we'll put on trailers. There's also what we call telematics devices that will actually be in the cab of the truck that are, if you think about it, a computer that's installed there that provides all the software and things that are needed for execution. We also have a lot of solutions that are really for the fleet manager. And so if that fleet manager has to, you know, distribute around a city and or a region, being able to maximize those assets so that they can be the most efficient and make the most production and at the same time make money.
Well, you have a number of brands too, a number of different things you do. So it'll vary a little bit. What are those differences that you can do for the
right.
trucking industry?
It's a good point. We've done some acquisitions and we've brought in a number of different companies that really provide, if you think about transportation and a life cycle, when goods hit a port or they come out of the factory, being able to take them, being able to manage that asset, the truck and the goods as it's move to the distribution warehouse possibly, then you might want to route that. Once that warehouse has to distribute its goods in a local area, there's a lot of maximization around that load and how to get somewhere on time to a consumer and or to a store.
So it sounds like you have digitized the trucking industry in terms of knowing what's going on real time.
It really is. And it is about real time management of your fleet. And it's about real time management of the goods and services that you're delivering. And a lot of our technology gives real time visibility to either the driver and the needs that driver has, or to the fleet manager, or to the supply chain manager for a company. So really at both ends of the equation, we're providing technology that gives real time connectivity that our applications run on for that industry.
Well, you are running a company that's split from Qualcomm. The business is doing just under $500 million a year. You have doubled your workforce. What changed after that was split, or after it was spun off?
Well, a number of things. First, we relocated to Texas, and so it was a real fundamental decision we had to make. The company was in San Diego. That's where it was founded. It was actually the foundational division for Qualcomm when Mr. Jacobs started the company in 1988. As they moved further away from transportation, Qualcomm, there was this great franchise and asset, Omnitrax. We saw it as an opportunity to really bring it out as an independent company, and then we looked at relocating it, and we relocated it because of the environment of Texas is a great place to run a global business, us being a global enterprise, and at the same time, the talent base. It's just a great place. We knew we would be expanding our workforce, and when you think about Dallas-Fort Worth and you draw a circle around it about 250 miles, there's a great university system, a great education system that we could tap into, says we could bring along a lot of the next generation of software engineers that we need to build our platform.
Well, you doubled, correct me if I'm wrong, from 400 to about 800. Was that growth once you moved here to Dallas?
A lot of that growth has been as we've moved here. And so we've done a lot of hiring in the region. We also have offices in different parts of the U.S., Baltimore, Minneapolis, and others, and we've added personnel in those locations as well.
Well, I mentioned that you were in 60 countries. Is the United States the largest?
It is. And so, the cornerstone of our business is the North American market. So we're very, very deep into transportation in the U.S. and Canada and Mexico. So if you think about that NAFTA-type environment, that's where we thrive. A lot of the technologies we have that can be used in Europe and or in Asia are around a lot of the routing and, software applications to help in that optimization of delivery. So, again, we offer a lot of different things, but the cornerstone of our business geographically is really that North American market.
You have grown since you've moved from San Diego. You've added more people. What caused all that? What was the impetus to increase business so much around the tracks?
Sure. Well, I think, Steve, it's a good question. It's a great industry. So if you think about transportation, you think about the movement of goods, it's a dynamic industry that's going through so much change right now. We hear about Amazon wanting to deliver packages by drones. We read about that in the paper. You read about the Panama Canal being expanded so it could take larger freights, take 30 days off delivery time of goods from Asia to the port of Houston or Tampa. That's all driving a fundamental change in the industry of being able to get things delivered faster and in a more efficient manner. And it's really, if you go down to the consumer level, what you and I expect if we go online and order something, I want to order it today and I want it today. Well, that actually is starting to permeate the entire industry all the way into the long haul distribution cycle. So it's just a very dynamic and growing industry. The U.S. market especially has been doing very, very well. So with transportation growing, we see great opportunity for the long term for what we do and for the services we provide for the industry.
You think of transportation, you're thinking of the airline industry, you think of railroads too, which has also helped increase the business. But the one guarantee when you go on the highway, you are going to see trucks.
Within 5 minutes to leave this building, you will see one of our customers each and every day, whether that's Frito-Lay or whether that's Swift Trucking, whoever it might be, Coca-Cola. We are touching that vehicle in some way with our technology and software.
Well, the trucking industry is still the number one industry to move any kind of goods across the country and the world. Is that correct?
That's correct. So when you really look at the distribution of goods from either a port and or from a factory or even raw materials from a mine or what have you, it has to hit wheels. And when it hits wheels, that's where we thrive.
Well, I asked you about this before the show started, and I'll ask you now because this has changed the ELD mandate.
Mm-hmm.
How is that? What is that, and how is that impacting the trucking industry?
Yeah, one of the things I think, especially in the long-haul side, a lot of people don't realize is that drivers are managed, how much time they can drive in a day, certain requirements that the government has put on that industry. The ELD mandate is about moving that into the digital age. It's about electronic logging. It's being able to make those fleet safer, manage those drivers, and helping to provide them the tools so they can be compliant with the rules and regulations of the government, whether that's state or federal.
So the government's causing you to move from a paper to a paperless environment where everything is tracked electronically.
That's one aspect, but I would tell you that a lot of the things that you do in paper, that it applies to any industry, and it applies to banking, as Zach was talking about, is that being able to digitize and do things in an electronic way allows you to be more efficient, allows the exchange of information to accelerate. And so, yes, there are some compliance and ELD mandates that are going to be coming to us in the future, and that's happening. But even without that, we have a successful business model because we bring a lot of efficiency with our technology to a trucking and transportation company.
Well, you basically told us that the trucking industry is one of the most important industries in the United States. You're moving them into the 21st century. But where do you go from here? What's planned in the future?
Well, when you think about it, a lot of it is around data. So the data we touch, we have 100 million transactions a day through our hosted cloud environment. We have data that's coming off the engine of a truck. We can tell how that engine is performing. We have data on the driver. We have data on the load. So all that information creates a great opportunity for us to have analytics and business intelligence tools that we can provide back to our customer base to help them run their businesses in a safer way, a more efficient in a productive way, and also in a compliant manner. And so we see data, and we are actually already doing that with a lot of our navigation tools and others, where we can provide a lot of additional value to our customer base in the future.
Well, we're speaking with John Graham. John is the CEO of OmniTrax. So, John, tell everybody how they can get a hold of OmniTrax to find out more about what you do.
Right. Well, being a technology company, the best way, go to the internet. So OmniTrax.com, you can learn about our story, about the things that we do and how we touch our industry, and it's a great market. It's a great company, and I'm proud to be a part of it.
And again, that's OmniTrax, OmniTrax.com. There's a lot of information on there if you'd like to take a look at that. Well, John, thank you very much for being a part of Playmakers Talk Show.
Great. Thank you, Steve. Appreciate it.
Again, John Graham, CEO of OmniTrax, and OmniTrax website is OmniTrax.com. And again, you can get all the information about that business and all the businesses we talk about on our show on PlaymakersTalkShow.com. Thank you very much for staying with us. This has been a terrific show. Great guests. It's been great having them on the show. Join us at PlaymakersTalkShow.com, where you can get all of our replays and past episodes. That's PlaymakersTalkShow.com, and we're going to be back next week with more Playmakers. We'll see you then.
Who will Steve be interviewing next? Find out on Playmakers Talk Show with Steve Klein every Friday afternoon at 3 on 770 KAAM. Hear this interview again by going to Steve's website, PlaymakersTalkShow.com.